Well, it's good to be here. And I have the privilege to kind of be working on a message I'm going to be sharing at Warm Springs, not this next week, but the week after that. And I thought, well, maybe I just share the same message. And Matthew kind of opened the door for me to do this, because he was talking about how complicated things can be in our lives. So how you feel sometimes? This week has been somewhat of a complicated time for my life as well. And how are we to live in the light of when everything is kind of upside down, topsy-turvy? Is that how you feel sometimes? Well, we do feel that way. Well, there's a man I'm going to talk about tonight that experienced a great amount of that. So turn with me to Job chapter 19. Does that man come to your mind? A man that really, a lot of complicated things in his life. And the title of the message I'm going to be sharing with you is, What Did Job Know? So in chapter 19, in verse 25, he says, I know. What does he know? I know my Redeemer lives. And I know that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. Oh, myself will see him with my own eyes, I, not another. How my heart yearns within me. Is that how you feel, like Job, when things are going topsy-turvy? When things are complicated in your life, and you ask questions like Job, why? What's going on, Job, God? Job knows this. Before we get into this, what did Job not know? He didn't know there was a council in the heavenlies. God was calling all the angels, including Satan himself, to appear before him. God has that power to do that. And God, the Lord God said to Satan, where have you been, Satan? Can you imagine this conversation going on? I've been running around the world looking for someone to deceive and destroy their soul. That's my work. Do you know what the Lord God said to Job? Have you considered my servant, Job? God said that to Satan. Have you considered my servant, Job? What if God said that about you and me? In the heavenlies, things are going on that Job doesn't even know. And God is saying to the accuser of us, that's what Satan means, have you considered my servant, Matthew, Adam? Gotta pick you and you guys, and I'm gonna help me talk about me. Yes, I know your servant, Job. All his life, you've put a hedge of blessing around him. And now, Job's in his late middle age life because he has all these kids, we know that. You take away that hedge, God, and he'll curse you to your face. Really? God says to Satan? Well, and according to God's sovereign will, God says to Satan, go for it. Take away that hedge of blessing. And immediately, Job loses all his wealth. Everything's gone. A fire comes down and destroys all of Job's wealth. And then on top of that, he sends thieves to take away the rest. And on top of that, a storm comes and destroys Job's whole family. Imagine that in your life, my life. God allowing to take everything we have in life and is gone. A couple years ago in the city of Paradise in California, the whole city is destroyed, and there were believers there that lost everything. That happens in life. And believers say, why? What are you doing, God? What if your whole family was destroyed? I remember one of the last memorial services that I had a privilege to be involved in here at this church right here. I shared this message. Family was really struggling. They didn't understand. Why would you take this person home with cancer? God does some strange things in our lives, doesn't he? Allows things to happen. How did Job respond? Well, Lord, I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave it with nothing. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. And Satan heard those words. And then Satan came to God and says, let me take away his health. I've taken away his wealth. How about his health? You can, but you cannot destroy him. You can't lie. You can't take his life. According to God's sovereignty, God's sovereign will. And so Job is hit with some disease that is so terrible that his friends and his wife just has a hard time living with him. Say something like elephantitis. Terrible, terrible, painful disease. So his wealth is gone, his health is gone. And then he has his friends come. And for 7 days they stay with Job and don't say a word to try to comfort him. You know, Matthew and I have gone to some hospitals together, remember? Or people's homes, to try to comfort them. Hard for us to not say anything. You know, we've come to talk to you and to share. They came and not a word was for 7 whole days. They were just there to comfort Job. And then Job didn't curse God when he took away his health. I won't tell you what his wife said. You can go back and look at that yourself. Job just blessed God. blessed God. When all his wealth is taken, all his health is taken, his relationship of family is gone. But do you know what Job did? He cursed himself. He just tore into himself. I wish I'd never died. God, why did you let me live? Get me out of here, God. Take my life away. You know, on and on and on. Just complain, 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 complain about himself. Not about God, but about himself. See, Job didn't know what was going on in the heavenlies. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that. And he's still blessing God. Could you and myself do that? I would have a very difficult time. Would you? Anybody agree with me? Yeah. Yeah. We all feel that way. If God took away your wealth and your health and your relationships, your family, everything's gone, how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to say, why, God, why? And through the rest of Job, then his friends turn on him, whether it's so-called theological knowledge, and, oh, you're the cause of this. If you were not sinning so much, Job, you and your family, God wouldn't do this. And the rest of Job's all about that. In the midst of all this, this is what Job knows. I know I have a Redeemer, and he lives. I know that. And I don't know about the future, but I do know this. In the end, it's all going to turn out well because he's going to stand upon the earth in the latter days and everything will end well. I know that. And I know I got a terrible body right now. And I know that I'm going to see God. And my eyes will see him. I don't want to see anything else, anyone else, just but him. Oh, how my heart yearns within me just to go and see God. Job knew that in the midst of all of his struggles. I want to share something with you in chapter 14. Let me read these words to you. Verse 1. Man is born of woman, is of few days and full of trouble. Does that speak to life? Read on. He springs up like a flower, and then he withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Do you fix your eyes on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? These are questions that Job is asking God. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months, have set his limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him, God. Let him alone till he's put in his time like a hired man. At least there's hope for a tree. It cuts down, it sprouts again. Its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow up in the ground. Its stump dies in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth short shoots like a plant. But man, he dies and is laid low, and he breathes his last and is no more. He's dead. As water disappears from the sea, as the riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. He's gone. grows up. Son of water grows up. Man just dies. Look at the next word. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger's past, God. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. And you will call, and I will answer you, for you long for the creature your hands have made. Remember what Job said about his relationship with God in the midst of his terrible days and times of life? Oh, I just want to see you, Lord. Here, at the resurrection, God says to Job and every one of us, I long to see you and be with you and live with you forever and ever and ever. We want to be with God when everything's going crazy, but God longs to be with us. He wants to see God. No one else but God. The Lord is God, his Redeemer. But the Lord God is in heaven longing to be with us forever and ever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? The covenant love relationship that the Lord our God has with us. He just loves us. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died and rose again from the dead, he's ascended to heaven, and you know what he's doing right now? He's praying joyful love prayers for us right now. And in his prayers for us, he's saying, David, people of God, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm going to raise you up with a new body and eternal existence. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it hasn't entered the heart of man what God's prepared for us who love him. But more than that, because he loves us. Didn't John say that? We love him because he first loved us. Oh, how God's heart yearns for us to be with him forever in spite of all the trials of life. He longs for that. That day. It's coming. It's coming. But in the midst of all the trials of life, is that what have you? Can see how Job says, I'm complaining about myself. I just complain about this and this and this and this. But Job says, oh, I know. I just want to see him. I just want to be with my Redeemer, the lover of my soul. Amen and amen, huh? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the precious promises we have in your word. Oh, we long to be with you, but it's so good to know that you long to be with us. You just yearn. Your heart yearns to be with us as well. Bless your people this night in this whatever trials that they may be going through. Your precious and your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.